You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad that you could join us in. Let's welcome in all our people and our family from all around the world joining us online. Hey, everybody. We have people watching. Yeah, today we have people watching from all around the world. Mississippi, Abilene, Texas, Mineral Wells. Wow, thank you, Fort Worth. That's awesome. Hey, we have people watching us from France. G'day, mate. We're so glad that you could join us. Hey, grab your Bibles if you would. We're going to spend some time in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. I'm so glad that you could make it. Welcome to church, everybody. If nobody's told you yet, hey, good morning, and we're glad that you could make it. God's got something special for you today as we turn our attention to his word. So grab your Bibles if you would. If you're looking at it on your phone, Luke chapter 8 is where we're going to spend all of our time as we continue our series called One Small Step. Somebody say, One Small Step. Today, I want to talk about the uneasy steps, the uneasy ones, the ones where it's not so simple, the ones where it's not so easy. All of us have to walk through parts of our life where things aren't easy, where things seem like you're just kind of going from one thing to the next. You ever been there? You ever been surrounded by, you're just like, man, it's gone from one problem to the next, and everywhere I turn, it seems like there's just pushback, and it's just like one thing after the next just keeps happening. What do you do in those moments? Because thankfully, the Bible has a lot to say about what to do when we're walking through times where it's uneasy, when we don't like it, when it's not comfortable. And here's the great news. Most of those times are when people, not you, people in other services, people that go to other churches, that's when they quit. Not us. Come on. We are not of those who shrink back, the Bible says. We are those who step forward in faith. We're not those that keep shrinking back. God has a next step for you. I may not know what it is, but I know you have one. There's always a next step. And sometimes those steps that you take find resistance. Sometimes that step comes with pushback. Sometimes it gets uneasy. It gets uncomfortable. What do you do in those moments? Most people quit, but that ain't us. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, that ain't me. Look at your second choice and say, and that ain't you. So we're kind of relating all of this in this One Small Step series. We're kind of relating all of it back to man's first steps on the moon when Neil Armstrong steps off that lunar module and puts one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind and forever etched in the history books as the first man that steps foot on another planet. What a cool experience. I didn't realize this, but they still use some of those exact same astronaut suits today. Did you know that? That they recycle those suits? That's weird because, like, where do those guys go to the bathroom? I don't want to be wearing nobody else's suit. But each of those suits in the 60s were $12 million. A $12 million suit. Now, I've worn some nice things in my life, but I don't know if I've ever worn anything, even $1,200. But $12 million a piece? Think about that. In 1960 dollars. Also, when he takes that first step off of the lunar module and onto the surface of the moon, there were an estimated 650 million people watching that step. Can you imagine the anxiety of 650 million people watching you as if you needed any more pressure? Think about that. Now, for some of us in this room today, if I was to ask you, hey, stand up from where you are, come meet me, you're going to preach the next 20 minutes of this message. Some of you are like, I would literally rather die. There are some of us that are like, I've been waiting all day for you to ask me. It's my time to shine. But for others of us, like, I would literally rather die than to stand up there in front of people. And there's only a few hundred people in this room, but think about that. 650 million people watching you take one step. That's a lot of pressure. But it also brings a lot of support, doesn't it? You ever been in a stage of your life in any competition or a game where people start cheering you on and you feel like you can kind of tap into some reserves that you didn't know you had? I want you to know this. The book of Hebrews tells us this, that you have more than 650 million people watching you. Did you know that? When you start stepping out in faith, doing what God has called you to do, The Bible says that there is a great cloud of witnesses standing on the other side of eternity that are watching you and cheering you on. Now that should add a little bit of confidence to somebody knowing I ain't alone, but my parents that have gone before and my grandparents that have gone before and great grandma and great grandpa and pop pop are sitting on the other side going, come on, you can do this. They're cheering us on. Hebrews 12 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. If you've ever been in a stadium that was more than not just a couple of thousand people, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people, at some point it just becomes a massive cloud of faces. And he said, that's what heaven is like. When we start taking steps of faith, we start running with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. When you start walking by faith, there's a huge crowd of the people that have gone before that are cheering you on, saying, come on, you can do this. He said, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what are we supposed to do? He tells us this. He said, let us throw off everything that hinders. And he said, the sin that so easily entangles. Notice those two things. There are things that hinder us and things that entangle us. Some things that may not be sin, but they slow you down. And some things that are sin that keep you entangled. You can't run. I wonder what hinders you and what's sin. What's keeping you from taking faith steps? Said, you're surrounded by a lot of witnesses that are cheering you on. So lay aside the weights. Lay aside the things that so easily entangle you. And then it says this, and run, run. Let us run with perseverance. Somebody say perseverance. Perseverance. It's a word that we can say pretty easily, but saying it and doing it are two different things. Amen? Saying perseverance and actually persevering, that's two different things. He said, let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. It's going to take perseverance. As a matter of fact, let me say it this way. It's going to take perseverance to accomplish my purpose. You need to know that. If you want to become all that God has called you to be, you are going to have to persevere. You're going to have to walk through times where you don't want to keep walking. You're going to have to walk through moments where it is uncomfortable. Now, all of us, I believe, would say, amen, I believe it, until you're in the middle of it. Then you're like, I want to go home. I don't want to do this anymore. This was fun for a minute, and now I'm scared. Just got real. It's going to take perseverance to accomplish the purpose that God has for you. You have to know that. In order to be able to walk by faith for more than a couple of faith steps, you're going to have to learn how to persevere. Now, the good news is Jesus has a lot to teach us about this from his word. Jesus' entire ministry was filled with perseverance. He shows us and models it for us. He shows us exactly what to do when life gets a little bit uneasy. And so in Luke chapter 8, Jesus grabs his disciples, his 12 ride or die, and they go across the lake and they step right onto a spiritual battle. The moment that Jesus steps out and puts one foot on the shore, the Bible says that he's met by the demonic. And the same is going to happen for you. Let me remind you of this. Jesus didn't need an audience. He could have done this by himself. But he intentionally shows his disciples what to do when life gets uneasy, when those steps are uneasy. So let's pick it up, if you would. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 27. So it's when Jesus stepped ashore, one small step, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town, and for a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in the house. It sounds like some of our kids and wild childs. But he had lived in the tombs, and when he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't you torture me. Don't torture me." Here's a man that was already being tortured, filled with the demonic, and he's screaming out, "Don't you torture me, Jesus. Not like I'm torturing this man. Don't do that to me." For Jesus had commanded that impure spirit to come out of that man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Could you imagine what this town might have responded to a man that could break out of handcuffs, break away from the law enforcement of the day, and just could not be bound and chained? He's screaming out. Other versions of the scriptures that he's screaming all night long. He's living in the tombs. He doesn't wear clothes, and he's cutting himself, mutilating himself with stones, is screaming out in torture. Let me just tell you, this guy's in real trouble. And as soon as Jesus steps foot, he comes immediately and begins to scream at Jesus. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." Legion. The other versions of this says, "For we are many." Notice the multiple pronouns in here and the self-mutilation and the spirit of death. This is the demonic, and you could recognize it today. We're still living in that world today. It's demonic. And those things are going to push back when you start taking steps of faith. He said, "Legion, for we are many." He said, because many demons had gone into him and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. "Don't torture me before it's time." I understand that at some point these demons are going to have to pay the price for what they've done torturing these people. But he said, "It's not time yet. You can't do this. You can't do this. Don't you send me to the abyss before my time." Look at this. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. Notice where the authority lies. Jesus says, "I give you permission to go into those pigs." And when the demons had come out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned, ultimately killing this herd of pigs. Notice the demonic always driving towards that spirit of death. Let me remind you, Jesus doesn't need an audience, but he's showing us something. He's showing us something. He's always teaching. Jesus is always teaching. He's showing us what to do when life gets uneasy, when it gets uncomfortable. When you're dealing with things that other people want to send outside of the city, Jesus says, "Let me deal with that." And Jesus models this for his disciples, shows them what to do and how to keep pushing when life starts pushing back. You ever been there? Now, I've had to take some uneasy steps in my life, some in the natural realm, some in the spiritual realm. There's been times where it has not been easy, but one of the times that I can tell you that was not easy to take some steps was a time that I went to one of those mall parking lot carnival rides. You ever been there? If you go to the carnival in the middle of the mall that's set up and run by meth heads, I'm sorry. They ain't got those kind of safety regulations that you want. That I'm just telling you. You're taking your life in your own hands. And I made that mistake once, and I got on one of those rides, and here's the thing. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't turn it off. They had tried unplugging it, shutting the power, and that thing just kept spinning and spinning. We spun for over 10 minutes. I'm not kidding. Things got a little nasty. Things got a little crazy. And when that thing was finally shut off, when they finally got enough people to figure out how to stop it, there were some uneasy steps coming off that bad boy. Let me just tell you, it was a little wonky. What happens when life gets a little wonky? What happens when those steps are hardcore steps, when you don't feel like it, when it's uncomfortable? What happens? For some of us, I'm describing your week. It's exactly what that week's been like. For others, you can go back in your life and recognize, yeah, I've been there, where it's hard to walk by faith. It's hard to take that next step because life is pushing back and I'm facing something I don't want to face. This is hard. What do we do? What do we do? I want to give you three things that I think are really important for us to understand. If you're a note taker, you're going to want to write this down. This will help you. This will encourage you. I'm not here to scare you. I'm not here to freak you out. I'm here to show you what to do. Because life, as sure as I'm standing here, is going to get uneasy. And the moment that you start taking faith steps, you're going to have pushback. You're going to have resistance. The Bible is very clear. It reminds us over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament. You start walking by faith and obedience to God, the enemy don't like it. You're going to have resistance. You're going to have resistance. Look at me. I'm not kidding. You're going to have resistance. This is why most people quit. They take a couple of steps. This is awesome. This is great. I took a step of faith. Look at that. And then all of a sudden, like, things got weird. Things are pushing back. Here's what you need to know. Number one, my faith steps will make demons tremble. My faith steps will make demons tremble. They don't like it. Now, on the rare occasion when I was growing up, I have three brothers and sisters. There's four of us together. We were all 16 months apart. And so let's just say times got a little crazy. And on the rare occasion when my parents would allow our cousins or our friends from church to stay over and spend the night, I'm just telling you, like, that was the time for us to go buck wild. And my parents would put up with it until about 11 o'clock. It's like, okay, that is way too much. It's time to go to sleep. And so they put us all in the room with pallets on the floor, said, "Everybody, come on, close your eyes and try to go to sleep." And as soon as they turned off that light and walked out, like, it is, let's go. It's party time. And we would start giggling, you know, whispering, and things would start getting funny, and things that shouldn't be funny got a little funnier, and the giggles turned into a laugh. And after a while, it's like we don't realize how loud we're getting because that energy is building from all of us thinking things are funny and noises that nobody should be making and smells that nobody should be making. It just got funny because you're a bunch of kids. And I'm just telling you, after a while, you start recognizing the fact that we have gone past the moment that we could control our volume and things have gotten out of control. And so you'd hear dad stop snoring from the other room and get up. And because you live in one of those old pier and beam houses, you can hear when daddy's coming. Is that boom, 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 like, we start screaming, everybody get here, come back here. Climb underneath the covers, act like you're asleep. You've been there? Like, he comes in, I said, go to sleep. You're like, huh, what are you talking about? I don't know. Huh, we've been asleep. No, you were. These little demons start trembling when daddy starts coming. When you start walking by faith, those demons are going to start trembling. When you start stepping out in faith and becoming who God has called you to be, it's going to upset the apple cart, and people are not going to like it. You're going to notice you're going to start getting pushback. Things that should be normal are not normal. It's par for the course. It's what's supposed to happen. People want you to stay in your lane, to sit, stay, roll over, shut up. Just do what you always do. Just be what you've always been. But when God calls you to step out in faith, you need to know that there's going to be resistance and people will not like it. Let me make sure that you hear this. The Jesus in me causes the demons in others to get real uncomfortable. You need to see that. The Jesus in me causes the demons in others to get real uncomfortable. And this is what happens as soon as Jesus steps one foot onto the sand of the shore. Here comes the demons. Here comes this demonic, tortured man. And later on in the chapter, it says that the town told Jesus, get out of here. We don't want you here. Think about that. This same person that was healing people and raising the dead, that people were begging, come over here, we have sick people here, we have people that have died and we have things that are happening, blind eyes are being opened, people are begging for Jesus to come, and this area is like, get out of here, you're messing with our demons, you're messing up the apple cart, you're messing up our system. Why would a group of people not want Jesus? Because when Jesus shows up, things start getting uncomfortable. I believe it has a lot to do with the fact that they were herding, H-E-R-D-I-N-G, herding pigs. Leviticus chapter 11 tells us this. When God is speaking to his people, the Jewish people, he says, and the pig, it is unclean for you. Now, hold on a second. I'm not Jewish, I'm Mexican. That pig is not unclean for me. If you're Jewish and choose to live underneath the law, hey, good for you. But for the rest of us, thank God that scripture does not apply to me because the pig is tasty. It's here for me. Thank you, Lord. But for them, God was very, very clear. There is no doubt. God said, that pig is unclean for you. You're not to eat it. He said, you're not even to touch it. So why are there a herd of pigs there? The demons asked for permission to go into that herd of pigs to kill them. What does that show us today? It shows us this, that disobedience always opens the door to the demonic. The last thing that you want to have happen to you when you're walking through spiritual warfare is sin and disobedience. Because then you won't be able to tell which is the Lord and which is just my sin. And you'll start taking your sin and blaming the Lord for it. Do you see this? You need to know this. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles. Let's get rid of all that stuff so that we can run with perseverance. The race is hard enough without adding that stuff to it. So my faith steps are going to cause some demons to tremble. Let's not be disobedient in this. Here's the second key. Write this down if you would. Number two, my faith will enable me to see what others can't see. When you start stepping out in faith, you're going to get to see some things and experience some things that everybody else sitting at home on their phones don't get to see. All of a sudden, your life starts making a difference. You start doing things that other people only hear stories about. This past summer, my family got the the wonderful privilege to suffer for the gospel. While you guys were here at 108 degrees, we got to suffer for the gospel in beautiful Breckenridge, Colorado. And I'm not even complaining. I don't even care if you hate me because of it. It snowed four times. I don't even care. It was beautiful. And my social media feed was blowing up with all of us complaining about how hot it was. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm not sorry. That first night there, man, it snowed. I mean, just a whiteout snow. And I'm out there, nothing but a pair of shorts. I'm like, bring it. I don't care. Hypothermia, nothing. I've earned this. And you don't want to stay inside when it feels like that. When it's, you know, the high of the day is like 48 degrees. Like, I'm not staying inside. I want to get out. Like, this is beautiful. I waited my whole life for this kind of weather. And I want to walk. I want to see stuff. I want to hike. And when you start walking out into the woods and you get a chance to hike in the mountains, I'm just telling you, you see things that you can't see here. You get to experience things that you can't experience here. And it's just beautiful. One breathtaking scene after the next. You're like, wow, I see why this place is so expensive. Because there's lots of stuff to see. But I don't want to be stuck in the house looking at a phone. And you know, once you see and experience those things, you want to be out more and more and more. Because there's lots of stuff to see. Let me just tell you, there's a reason why most of us that live in Texas are so fat. Because it's hot. It's hot, I don't want to walk outside. Are you kidding me? But when you don't have that excuse, you can get outside. You can go see some stuff because it ain't hot. And I'm thankful for it. Let me just tell you, there's a fantasy land called Colorado. Yeah. If you ever get a chance to go in the middle of summer, go. Everyone else is like, we go during the winter. Like, no, man, let's not get crazy. Go during the summer. Ain't nobody there. But once you get a chance to experience that and see it, you're just changed. You're like, this is awesome. My summer wasn't that big of a deal. Wasn't that hot. And think about Peter. When Peter steps off of a boat and begins to walk on water towards Jesus, you think it changed his perspective a little bit? You think this fisherman that has grown up on the water sees that same water that he's fished in 1,000 times? You think he sees that water a little bit differently when he starts walking on it? Think about the wind and the waves and the rain and the storm. And Jesus is out there standing on top of the water. And he says, okay, Peter, come on, step out on this. There's 11 people sitting in a boat that never get to have the experience that Peter does. But he's changed forever. He will never be the same the moment he starts stepping out in faith. And neither will you. Is it crazy? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Will it freak you out? Yes. You'll have resistance. But look at me. It's worth it. Stepping out in faith will change how I see things permanently. You're ruined for normal. And that's exactly how you're supposed to be. So what does God's word tell us to do about this perspective of walking by faith and how it changes the way that we see things? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us this. So what do? We fix our eyes, look at this, on not what is seen, but what is unseen. Not what I can see, what I can't see. In the middle of life pushing back and life getting crazy, kids going nuts, exes going nuts, lawyers going nuts, money's looking funny, crazy things are happening, 2 flat tires in the same day, all the weird things that start happening, what do we fix our eyes on? I don't fix my eyes on those things. I fix my eyes on what I can't see. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he said, we fix my eyes on things that I cannot see. He says, for what I can see is temporary. What I can't see, that's what's real. And that's what's eternal. That's what matters. Now, we can easily take this scripture and say, yeah, I get it. When I can see all these things happening, I recognize that's demonic. That's pushback. It doesn't take faith to do that. The people in the town where this demoniac person lived knew that this was a demon. Doesn't take a lot of faith. This guy's cutting himself, screaming, running around naked. He has this spirit of death. He's screaming, talking in 15 different languages, calling himself we. That doesn't take a lot of faith. It's like, you know what? He might have a demon. Maybe he's just having a bad day. Maybe they messed up his order at Starbucks. I don't know. I've been that angry before. No. This is much more than that. Let me say it this way. It doesn't take faith to see the demonic. It takes faith to see what God can do in spite of it. In spite of it. You see, behind this person that was consumed with the demonic, Jesus saw a wife without a husband, children without a father, a man that couldn't help himself. And even though he is consumed with rage and that spirit of death, Jesus sees a person behind it. and sees what God is about to do. And he shows his disciples, that's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus understands spiritual authority, and he teaches a lesson, and he changes their perspective forever when it comes to supernatural and spiritual warfare. Do you see it? It doesn't take faith to see demonic things. And we used to do that in the 90s. Everything had a demon. It's all demonic. Movies, demonic. Cabbage Patch, demonic. That doesn't take faith to do that. Just call everything demonic. It takes faith to see what God is doing in spite of it. Let me just take a moment and say, you know, the enemy dwells and does his best work in the what ifs, but God dwells in the even ifs. Even if, even if, even if. That's good. I'm writing that down for third service. They need that. So my faith enables me to see what other people never get a chance to see. And in that moment, God changes the way I see things, and things are just different. I'm ruined for normal. And I recognize this simple truth that every step of faith becomes a roadmap for other people to follow. Once again, Jesus could have done this by himself and done this in private. But Jesus tells this man, hey, don't just follow me. No. Go back to your house and tell your story. Go back to your wife and go back to your kids and tell them what God's done for you. You've got a story now to tell. Your city's not going to believe that. And that city that's still living in disobedience needs to see the change in your heart. What a powerful concept when we recognize that now I got a story to tell. And it's not supposed to be kept private. Once you start stepping out in faith and you've fought through some pushback, you've got a story to tell. People need to hear it. Because one of the greatest lies that the enemy will tell you when you're walking through something is you're the only one walking through it. And what you'll come to realize, you're not alone. And Satan's plan is very, very simple. He does a lot of things because they work really, really simply and really well. He didn't have to change it up a lot because it doesn't take much to get us to quit and to go back to what we've always done. We're going to need some perseverance. The enemy will tell you you're all alone. No one else understands. Nobody else gets it. That's not true. We're all walking through this. When we start taking steps of faith together, you're going to find resistance. So the third and final point tells me this, very simply. This is the most important thing I'm going to say. You're going to need to remember this. Resistance makes me stronger. Makes me stronger. For those of you that are weird and actually go to a gym, the rest of us don't understand you. But I know this to be true. You don't get stronger just by going to the gym. You got to actually have some resistance. And the more resistance that you have, the stronger that you're getting. Do you see it? The same works in the spiritual. The more resistance that there is, the stronger that I'm getting. This is why James says this. This is the craziest verse that you're ever going to see in the Bible. There's a few of them that are crazy. Now, this one in James says this. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. That is a strange scripture. And I love when people read it. Consider it joy when you're facing trials. You're like, shut up, man. Nobody wants to hear that when they're walking through something. Count it all as joy. I will punch you in the mouth. Ha, 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 isn't that great? Because we don't understand it. He says, consider it joy when you face trials because you know that the testing of your faith, when life is pushing back and that faith step is getting tested, he said, it's producing something. What is it producing? Perseverance. You're getting stronger. And he said, let perseverance finish its work. Keep walking by faith. Keep persevering. Keep pushing. Why? So that you can be mature and complete, lacking nothing. I want to grow. I want to become. I want to walk in all the things that God has for me to walk into. How do I do that? Perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work. You need the resistance. Resistance is expected. When you take steps of faith, you're going to face resistance. So I brought these up to finish out today. I brought these weights. This is 17,400 pounds. And there's a harness attached to it. So this is a sled. Those of you that actually work out, you understand this. And so you put this on you, and you start pulling this thing across, right? And the more that you push, the more it kind of builds up your legs, builds up your stamina. And great, cool. And so for the sake of this, I want to kind of show you an analogy of what I'm talking about today. So if I can get a couple volunteers, Natalie, would you come up and help me? And let me get Logan and Pastor Doug, if you'd come. Pastor James, would you come as well? This is gonna be fun. Give them a hand as these guys come, if you wouldn't mind. So would you mind taking this? Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. He knows how to pick it up the right way this time. Last time he picked it up by the sides and it snapped in half. I'm like. So $350 later, we have another podium. And so thank you for being a generous church that we can afford a new podium. Because if you've ever leaned on the thing and heard it go, you're like, oh, I don't want to fall. Like, then you understand. You get it, but I appreciate you being generous to me. So this is a harness. I'm going to get in this thing and pull this 17,000 pounds across. Now, notice this. Take a couple steps, then resistance. This is your faith walk. I'm stepping out in faith. Now, you can stay here where it's comfortable, and you can stop when you hit resistance. Most people do. Most people actually will never take a step of faith at all. Never be in obedience. They want to do what they think is best for them. And when God is calling you to step out in faith, most people won't. But those that have the courage to do it will take a couple steps and then that's enough. Now, for the sake of this analogy, guys, if you'd join me, this is my daughter, Natalie. You guys give her a hand if you would. Natalie, you're gonna add some weight to this. So if you wouldn't mind sitting down, crisscross applesauce, yeah. That's great. Get yourself on that. We're gonna pull that. And you guys, if you wouldn't mind, grab my left side, Pastor Doug. Grab my right side there, Logan. The other left and right, cool. And then James, if you wouldn't mind grabbing my back belt loop. Easy. This ain't that kind of church, man. All right, now your job is to resist me. I'm gonna try to step forward. And these guys are gonna try to pull me back. Now, these are pretty strong guys. Now, if I could pull this, you'd be pretty impressed, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I would.
Look at me, I can't pull this.
I would.
Some of you are like, I believe you're so strong. God's gonna help you do this. This ain't John Jacobs and the power team, man. All right, so I'm gonna step forward. You guys try to pull me back, ready? Okay. Nah. I'm gonna pull something, man. I can't be off engine before third service. Now, what does the Bible tell us to do in Hebrews 12? It said, lay aside every weight and the sin. There are some things that are holding you back that don't belong. So if you guys wouldn't mind, let me lay aside the sin, the things that so easily entangle me, right? And then it says I can start persevering. This is not the time to be wearing cowboy boots. But as I get resistance, I'm getting stronger. Am I not?
Yes.
Now, the Bible does say I'm surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And that helps me to push, right? So I'm getting stronger. Thank you, sweetheart. You guys give my daughter a hand as she goes, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you very much. You guys are all strong. Love your muscles. Let me just say, looking around the room right now, for those of you watching online, there's not a single person that doesn't have a smile on your face. Why are you smiling at me struggling? Look at me. Because through the eyes of faith, I can find joy in resistance. If I lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily entangles me, and start stepping by faith when it gets hard, I can find joy there. Why? Because I'm getting stronger. And other people see spiritual warfare, I believe I'm gonna see a victory. I believe that what's on the other side of that is a stronger version of me that is able to keep stepping by faith even when life gets hard and I don't like it and it's pushing back, but I will not quit and neither will you. Resistance only makes me stronger. And through the eyes of faith, I can find joy in the middle of resistance. Is that okay, everybody? Thank you so much. Now, as we finish up today, I wanna make sure that I'm very clear. I don't wanna make light of what you're having to walk through. I get that, but sometimes, you know, laughter is the best medicine, and sometimes if you can't laugh at it, what can you do, right? The Bible says that, hey, laughter does good. It's like a medicine. Sometimes you need to recognize that I can have a little bit of joy through all this that I'm walking through. And sometimes that's the only medicine you need to just choose joy, because I'm getting stronger. Is it scary? Yeah. I don't like it. It's uneasy. It freaks me out. I'm getting stronger. I'm not the same person I was. I don't see things the same way. I'm becoming who God has called me to be. And that's my story. That's your story. I want to encourage you, for those of you that are walking through a difficult season, don't quit walking. Don't stop pushing. Don't stop witnessing. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading. Keep going. Keep listening. Keep stepping. It's good for you and it's worth it. You can do this. You absolutely can do this. We can find joy in the middle of our trials because I'm getting stronger. I can let perseverance finish its work. It's doing something in me. It's doing something in you. Now, I wish I had time to tell you about all the things that we've had to walk through just the past few weeks. When we started this series of One Small Step, let me just tell you, the pushback is insane. I could tell you, I'm not kidding, I could tell you 150 stories of things that you're like, whoa, wow. You thought you were alone? You're not alone. Had another two group leaders in the first service said, we sat down in that second week and just in our group, we had 17 things that all got really, really strange and hard at the same time. Things outside the norm. They were like, wow, we're walking through some tough stuff. The moment that we started taking steps of faith, being obedient to what God has called us to do, we got hit. Let me just tell you, that's normal. The question is, what are you going to do? You're going to keep walking by faith? You're going to go back to comfortable? Most will go back to comfortable, but that ain't you. We are not of those who shrink back, Scripture says. That ain't us. We're able to persevere when life gets tough. You can do this, and the Lord will help you. I want to finish up right there, if that's okay. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Forget about the people that you came with, and forget about the rest of your day. Let's make sure that we don't miss this moment where we connect with our Father and hear Him talk to us. You need some encouragement. You need a little strength. You might need a word. And this is your moment to receive it. I want to encourage you, if you have your head bowed and your eyes closed, would you do me the next favor? Would you just open up your hands and maybe just place them on your knees as if someone was going to hand you something? It's an outward sign of an open heart. And I want to pray for you. For everyone walking through a difficult season where things have gotten strange and you've had pushback and trials and heartaches, diagnosis, bad news, hard times, things to worry about, things that have pushed back and attacked you. Let me just tell you, you're not alone. And in this moment, I believe God is speaking something to you right where you are. Let me pray for you. Father, right now, your people come to you declaring that we're weak in our own flesh. Lord, we don't know how to do all this. But Father, we're choosing today to trust you in the unknown. We recognize that you have the final authority. You have the final say, and there's nothing that you can't do. You're an all-powerful God, and I pray that today you would help us. Help me. Help me. My family needs your help. My friends need your help. My loved ones need your help. Help. Father, would you come? Would you encourage and strengthen and bless and help and deliver and heal every single person that's willing to persevere, step out in faith to trust you when life has gotten dark? Would you strengthen and bless them? In Jesus' mighty name. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, perhaps you're here today, or maybe you're watching online and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm so far from God right now. I need to come home. My friend, if that's you, you're in the right place. And God has you watching this today for a reason. As a matter of fact, if you could see it, God himself is reaching down his hand to you right now. The question is, will you reach back? You may say, I'm not sure how to do that. You do it with prayer. You do it with a simple prayer. And if you'll let me, I'd like to help you just like somebody helped me one time. How do I pray that prayer? If you want a relationship with Jesus, pray with me right now, right where you are. Pray this prayer. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came, died, and rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me. Save me. Thank you for what you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. And now with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if that was you, if you actually prayed that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but if that was you and you prayed that prayer with me, would you just lift up your hand all across this place, lift it up nice and high and proud? I see you. Good, good, good for you. If you prayed that prayer with me, would you lift your hand all across this place? Good for you. See you, sir. Yes, sir. If you're watching online or if you're here in the room, I want you to know that there's a number appearing behind me on a screen. And if you'll text the words, "I prayed," to that number appearing on your screen, I'm going to send you some things that will help you. They'll help you understand what just happened inside of your heart and what you are to do next. This is not the end of your relationship with Jesus. This is the beginning. And I want to help you. Good for you. I'm proud of you. Very proud of you. Let me help you keep going. Awesome. Well, High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me if you would. Then stand to your feet. It's been such an honor bringing God's word to you here today. I pray that you leave encouraged and blessed and strengthened. I'm going to have our elders and their wives step forward, and these guys are going to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. If you're watching online and you need prayer, would you type that in the chat? I need some prayer. We have people that are standing by that would love to pray for you. We believe that great things happen when God's people pray, and we would love to pray for you. So these guys will stay here after the service finishes up to be available to pray for whatever you might need prayer for. And if you liked what you watched today, or if you're here today and you're on social media, would you do us a huge favor and share this message with your friends and with your social media world? Every single week, we have people responding to the gospel, not because I shared it, but because you shared it. And when people share this message, when it finds a way to get people that aren't in church to church through their phones or through their computer, when they go to the presence of God, wonderful things happen. You would not believe what can happen. We've seen a lot of people online take steps of faith. Write us in every week. I just ask Christ into my heart. There's someone from the Philippines at 3 a.m. You'll see a text that comes through. I just pray to receive Christ. What should I do next? Like, wow, that's happening because you're sharing that message. So thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. So if you wouldn't mind sharing that. I also want to share with you some fantastic feedback from Unite. Wonderful, wonderful things happened because you showed up and God did great things last Thursday night at Unite. Church is coming together, not in the spirit of competition, but working together to make our city better. And we heard some fantastic things. And let me just tell you, it was wonderful. And the wins greatly, greatly outnumbered all the junk we had to walk through to watch that happen. It's Unite Week. And it's kind of a joke around us and around our camp. What happens at Unite Week is just like, okay, that's really crazy. Things will happen. They always do every single year. So I want to say thank you for your prayers. And notice this, that when Tim Tebow came to our town and we told him we'd like him to present the gospel at the end of his talk, he's like, "You're serious?" I'm like, "Absolutely." And he presented the gospel. I heard more people praying a prayer of repentance in Longview than I've ever heard in the history of this city. When he asked for a show of hands, there was more hands than I could see. I've given you permission as a church to peek. And many of you were starting to peek and look around. And you saw what I saw. And my heart just melted as people in our city took a step forward in their relationship with Jesus when they repented and asked Christ to come into their heart. What a big deal. And that is only possible because of you and your prayers, your steps of faith, your generosity. So let me just say on behalf of all of us and those that just received Christ, thank you. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for being a praying church. Thank you for being a church that stands with us and watches great things that God is doing. It's worth it. Do you believe that? Is it okay, everybody? Yes. Awesome. Let me pray for you and send you out. Father, I thank you for my friends. I pray you'd bless them and strengthen them and encourage them right where they are. I pray that they would continue to walk with you every single day this week, being led by your Spirit every step of the way. In Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an amazing week. Go Cowboys.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.